Welcome to Your Lot and Parcel podcast. You will find this program to have your best interest at heart. You can help us to continue this library of educational topics to help you preserve your home and family. As a nonprofit organization, we would appreciate your monetary support. Here is your host, Benjamin F. Diaz.
My guest today is a functional medicine practitioner, which is a branch of medicine that focuses on the root cause of disease rather than just simply treating symptoms. He is a chiropractor certified as a functional medicine practitioner, offering holistic healing with emphasis on clinical nutrition, energy balancing, and trauma release, and is also the host of the popular podcast Elevate with Corey Sundrup. Let's welcome him to our show now. Here he is, Dr. Corey Sundrup. Thank you, doctor, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I'm really excited to learn new things. And I'm grateful for you coming on your Lot and Parcel show. And by the way, we can begin with you telling us a little bit about yourself and your field of discipline, Dr. Corey.
Okay. Well, my name's Dr. Corey Sundrup. For the last going on 27 years, chiropractic physician. I also just got certified in functional medicine. I do a lot of Eastern-based modalities in addition to the chiropractic. I'll do acupressure. I do ozone therapy. I do trauma release, five-element theory, emotional clearing techniques, and just combine it all. And when I work on patients.
There you go. Does that all, those modalities, do they all fall into what you would call functional medicine?
Most of them don't. They're more, what would you call it? Light force, acupuncture based. So a lot of it is based on the meridian system in Chinese medicine. Oh. And then from there, we address the nervous system, the acupuncture system, and the immune system, try to find the imbalances, remove the roadblocks, and let the body heal itself. The functional medicine is just new for me this year that I got into.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Because I know the body is, it's amazing, biologically speaking, to take care of itself. Is just give it the right motivation,
Yes.
Speaking of functional medicine, how is that different from traditional medicine?
Well, they take it, it's a more tailored approach. It's specified, it's specific for the individual. And we want to look at what's causing your imbalances to begin with. We look for the cause of dis-ease or the cause of illness. Mm-hmm. And in traditional medicine, how many people do you know, friends, family, even yourself, that goes to the doctor, they have a bunch of complaints, they do blood work. Oh, the doctor says my blood work's normal, but yet they'll feel like crap. Mm. And with functional medicine, we look at the blood work, but certain pioneers in the field of functional medicine have saying, hey, these ranges are too big. We need to bring these ranges down to a narrower range. And then we're able to see what's really going on.
Hmm. So there are clues.
Are clues. And, you know, one of my favorite tests that I look for in patients is just a regular old CBC, a complete blood count differential. And most of the time, you know, patients will tell me, well, my doctor says it's normal. It's normal. There's nothing there. And I'll look at it and I'll shrink the range down. No, you got a virus right here. No, you have a bacterial infection. No, it's a parasite. And it's right there plain as day. Once you bring the values, the ranges down to a more functional level.
Hmm. That's interesting. In traditional medicine, I mean, you can't figure that out? I mean, to isolate them as you do? I mean, I'm just...
If they are ordering specialized tests or most of them aren't trained, you know, they look for red flag values. They look for panic values in the blood work. And if the panic values aren't there, they just basically ignore it. Mm-hmm. has to be more of like a life-threatening issue or systems are shutting down before they even look at something. And when you get trained in functional medicine, it's more sensitive, it's more precise, and you get a bigger picture of what's going on. And the thing I like about the functional medicine lab analysis, you can see a lot of nutritional imbalances just by regular blood work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Incidentally, I took my routine check up here last week, and my blood work came on good. And in fact, he kept repeating himself, I was in perfect health and I'm feeling good. But what you're saying is if someone is not feeling well, yet the blood work comes in normal, then there's definitely something wrong, of course, right?
Exactly.
So you take a look at the whole picture. And I believe that that's what a person needs to take a look at the whole picture. Traditional medicine to me is rather myopic. You know, it's just too isolated. Here's a pill, you'll be all right. But no, you got to look at the whole picture.
And yeah, they've gotten too specialized.
Yeah.
I noticed that. Yeah. Oh, that's a kidney issue. You need to go to a kidney doctor. That's a heart issue. Go to a cardiologist, and none of them work together.
Yeah. Well, why is that the case? You know, because I've noticed that too. I mean, if you need to check something else, you need a referral, but what's the deal with that? Why specialized like that? I don't know how you would explain that.
I don't know how it got that way. It used to be the family doctor was the, So I think we as a people are, especially in the United States, we're sicker now. We have more problems. Our health is just terrible. When that study that just came out a year or so ago, showing that 88% of all adult Americans are metabolically unhealthy, meaning they're somewhere on the spectrum of insulin resistance to pre-diabetes to type 2 diabetes, 88% of adult Americans fall into that.
It's a mess. I know that. A lot of it's probably what the diet, I guess, right?
The diet's that's key right there. That's the foundation.
Yeah. Now I can appreciate that. Of course, as we know, food is foundational to our well-being. And I know you speak about different kinds of diets, like the keto, or you talk about the carnivore. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit? Of course, there's a vegan as well. But
in my office, in my practice, I advocate low carbohydrate diets. So at the low end is the starting point would be the paleo diet. That's the absolute, minimum I recommend. Mm-hmm. And then if someone's got a lot of autoimmune issues, well, I'll put them on the autoimmune paleo diet, which is more restrictive than the paleo. Keto is another diet we recommend. And then the extreme at the other end is the carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. So those are the main four diets I recommend in the office. And they all have certain things in common. They're very low carbohydrate, higher protein, higher fat intake. I don't advocate or recommend grains in my diets in my office for my patients. So, I tell my patients, get off the corn, get off the rice, get off the wheat, get off the oats, eliminate vegetable seed oils, get healthy, good fats, good proteins, and yes, some carbohydrates, but depending on your level of health, it may be restricted. If I'm dealing with the type 2 diabetic, I might cut their carbs down to 30 a day, increase their protein and fat.
Mm-hmm. Is that temporarily, or because I know when we speak about keto, well, that does include vegetables, but the carnivore, that's strictly carnivore, right?
Yeah, carnivore is strictly animal based.
Right.
So, beef, lamb, bison, poultry, seafood, fish, depending on if you're sensitive to dairy. If you're not sensitive to dairy, then you can have butter and sour cream and cheeses. So pretty much anything that's animal-based. Mm-hmm. I just got into it back in 2020, just the start of 2020. And uh-huh. I'd always done keto, and I like keto. But for me, I'd never really lose the weight. I wouldn't gain the weight. I just kind of maintained a limbo. And then I started hearing about carnivore diet on the Joe Rogan podcast. Jordan Peterson was on there. And I thought, okay, I'll look into it. So I did some little bit of Googling on it and came across Sean Baker, Paul Saladino, how they were doing it. I'll give it a try. What do I got to lose? So, you know, within the first four, you know, and it was easy for me because I was coming from a keto background and I'm a big meat eater anyway. So it was really easy for me to do it. But like in the first 2 weeks, I had lost 14 pounds.
Oh, wow. You did.
And this was right when COVID was coming up. And so the gyms were starting to shut down, you know, once you get into February, March, but I lost 4 inches off my waist. I needed less sleep. I had more energy than I knew what to do with. All my aches and pains went away. So it's been amazing for me. And then, you know, if I cheat, if I go off of it, my aches and pains come back.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah. Wow. So fiber is not part of the diet for the carnivore, right?
No. Okay. And, you know, I struggled with that initially because, you know, we've had it drilled into our heads. You got to have fiber. You got to have fiber. You got to have fiber.
Yes.
Then I started listening to Dr. Paul Mason down in Australia. Or is it New Zealand? Anyway, he's an MD down there. And he had this 20-minute YouTube video on the myths of fiber. And he was quoting some studies taking people that had, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, rectal bleeding. And they broke them up into three or four different groups. They had one on a high fiber diet, a medium, a low fiber, and a no fiber diet. And everyone, all the ones that did the low fiber diet, all their problems cleared up. So I just did some more research on it. And, you know, most of the research about fiber is based off of epidemiological studies or observational studies. So it's all correlated. It's not causation. It's correlated. And it's a weak correlation at that.
I see. Because, you know, that's what you hear. You know, you need fiber to keep things moving along, you know, that sort of thing.
But yeah. I mean, things move just fine for me on the carnivore diet.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's sustainable, right? I mean, you can make it.
I every once in a while, I'll have some strawberries or a handful of blueberries, but for the most part, it's pretty sustainable. I do it, you know, during the week, you know, when I'm working, you know, I fell into almost by default when you're on the carnivore diet, you almost end up intermittent fasting by default because you're just not hungry when you're burning fat for fuel. You can go hours and hours without eating. So I found myself, I've never been a breakfast eater. As the work day went on, I just went work through lunch and found myself just eating a narrow window in the evening when I got home. And that was enough for me to sustain me.
That kind of falls into intermittent fasting, right?
Sounds like it's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Wow. Because I have heard about intermittent fasting, and I mean, on dinner, you know, me, I'm not much of a dinner. My main meal is lunch.
Okay,
Dr. Corey, and I will eat maybe a handful of an assortment of nuts. You know, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, and that's it. And I'm like you. I don't have breakfast. Occasionally, I will, but it's a late breakfast, like a lunch. You know, that sort of thing, but.
Yeah, so your window would be earlier in the day when you eat.
Right, exactly.
Now, you know, most people that do intermittent fasting, the most popular one is the 16-hour fast and the 8-hour feeding window.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just found that 8 hours was just too big of a window for me.
See, so you narrow that down, I guess, to...
Almost OMAD, 1 meal a day.
Wow. Okay, well, that's all right. I mean, very good. I kind of fell into that kind of inadvertently myself, intermittent fasting. So, oh, that's what I'm doing. Didn't know it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. That's how that works.
You are listening to Your Lot and Parcel podcast. Please tell a friend and support the educational program by leaving us a rating or review. We thank you in advance.
We are visiting with a chiropractor certified as a functional medicine practitioner, and he is telling us his personal journey into the carnivore diet and much, much more. He is saying that your optimal health starts by understanding the connection between your body, your mind, and the human spirit. And for a free first-time consultation with a doctor, you will find the link in the show notes. Here he is again, Dr. Corey Sundrup. Yep. Earlier, you touched on autoimmune disease.
Yes.
You know that there are so many. I've heard, read that maybe 80 up to 100 types of autoimmune disease. How can functional medicine help someone like that?
Well, we can look at the values, you know, like in the CBCs, there's a ratio between the neutrophils and the lymphocytes. Mm-hmm. And ideally, the ratio should be 2-1, so 60 neutrophils to 30 lymphocytes. But if that ratio starts getting more to a 1-1 ratio, that is indicative of an autoimmune issue going on. And granted, you can run the ANA, the RA, and all those tests. Mm-hmm. But when you get down to autoimmune, they're basically the same disease process. Mm-hmm. So what, depending on your background and your genetic makeup, one person develops Hashimoto's disease of the thyroid. One person develops MS. The other person gets type 1 diabetes. The other person gets rheumatoid arthritis. But the underlying mechanism is still the same with mm-hmm. autoimmune. Mm-hmm. And what I've found practicing in the last 26 years, there's two main components to autoimmune. Usually there's an underlying pathogen, and it could be a virus like Epstein-Barr virus. It could be candida. It could be a parasite. Mm. And then the other component is there's a food allergy. So it could be wheat. It could be gluten. It could be dairy, or it could be the casein component in dairy. So I always look for food allergies, and I always look for underlying pathogens. And so that's where when you're dealing with an autoimmune issue, that's where the autoimmune paleo works so well, or even the carnivore diet works well, because you're eliminating most of the foods that are causing the reactions to begin with. And then if it's a parasite, we put them on an antiparasitic. If it's a viral, we put an antiviral. But the thing we have to address with all autoimmune diseases is the gut health. Mm. How well is our gut? You know, is it leaking? We have gastrointestinal gastrointestinal permeability.
I see.
Where things are leaking through.
So it's the microbiome.
So a lot of it's healing up the gut, you know, eliminating any abnormal pathogens. If there's a candida or fungal overgrowth, we'll try to address that.
Sure.
If there's a viral, we'll address the virus, and then add nutritional support to help heal up the gut. And obviously, diet plays a big part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, that's foundational. When you do have an autoimmune disease, in layman terms, what is the body doing?
Well, there's some debate over it. Like, you always hear, like, the body is attacking itself.
That's what I hear. But is that so?
I don't believe so. I think what's happening is the body is going after these pathogens. The immune system is trying to mount a defense, and the body is collateral damage.
Mm.
So there's like in a lot of these flare-ups, there's a cytokine storm. And that's like cytokines is like weapons of mass destruction. It's basically the bomb. They're carpet bombing the area to try to neutralize the pathogens, but the body gets in the way. It's collateral damage. So the thyroid is collateral damage to whether it's a virus or a fungus. The same in rheumatoid arthritis, the joint is collateral damage.
I cannot hear you, doctor.
All of a sudden you got quiet.
There you are. Yep. I don't know. We're having some, I don't know what it is, but cyberspace kind of stuff you're going on.
So
but,
where did I fall off at?
The autoimmune disease is attacking. It's collateral damage, you were saying, when it does it, try to isolate, I guess, bacteria or whatever invasive agents, right?
Yes. So the body's going after, whether it's, you know, candida or fungus or an Epstein-Barr.
Yeah.
And, you know, the body releases cytokines to help bomb the area, neutralize these pathogens, and the body's tissue is just collateral damage.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. What kind of autoimmune disease do you see more often? I don't know if there's any, if you can put your finger on it.
I see a lot of Hashimoto's.
And define that for me.
That's the autoimmune of the thyroid gland.
Of the thyroid.
Yeah.
And what are the symptoms? What's happening there? Just for me to understand that.
Well, for hypothyroidism, typically when someone has a thyroid issue, their hair starts falling out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They start gaining weight. They can have more hormone imbalances, fatigue. Lack of energy is a big one.
Yeah.
They can have digestive issues. They can actually have elevated lipid morning temperature. If their temperature is running at 96, 97 degrees,
yeah,
that's usually indicative of a thyroid issue.
My God. Okay.
Trouble losing weight. Thyroid's one of the biggest ones I see.
My goodness. Okay. I don't know what would be the catalyst to that, what was causing that.
I'll tell you, you know, one of the most biggest culprits I see is gluten.
Is that right?
Yes. So gluten, the other ones are the broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts. They've got a lot of goitrogens that block thyroid function. Soy products are another one.
Hmm.
Anyone who's got a thyroid issue, whether it's autoimmune or not, I get them off the gluten. I get them off the broccoli, the cauliflower, the soy products. So again, they're going to be following a paleo or an autoimmune paleo protocol or even a carnivore protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And if I suspect there's a viral issue or a fungal issue, I'll prescribe the appropriate supplements to help deal with that.
There you go. Yeah. So just medication, just going to your primary doctor just doesn't do that. I mean, it just.
It just depends. I mean, I'm not a big fan of some of the Synthroid. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are on it, but they still have thyroid imbalances because the problem with Synthroid, it's the wrong form. It's in the T4 form and it's got to be converted into T3 for the cells to use it. But it's the body just does such a poor job of converting T4 to T3 when it's Synthroid. But even I've seen patients that take Armour thyroid, and you know, that's one of the first prescriptions for thyroids, 50-60 years old, and a lot of people do just fine with that.
I see. Yeah, but again, it's adjusting your diet
that's the foundation.
It is. Yeah,
you can't medicate yourself out of sickness, and I don't think you can supplement yourself out of sickness if you don't change your diet.
No, it's only a Band-Aid is the way I see it. You know,
yes.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
But I'm from the old school, doctor, from the old school. I'm in my mid-60s, and I've seen a lot of the friends that I have going through what we're talking about, and but I think you just have to step back and what am I putting in my mouth? You know, that's where it's at. A lot of it anyway, a lot of
it. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. My gosh. Doctor, I know you have a website. What are some of the products and services that you do have on your website?
Yeah, I just got my website updated. So I actually have a store, an online store to there's two of them. There's systemic formulas. So I got an online store there and people can go on and look at order whatever they want off of that. I also have 90-day kits. I will read people's blood work and then do a complete workup as far as an outline, what I feel like they need to be on, whether it's for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or a year. And I also have another, I think it's called, there's another store I got on there. It's an online dispensary for supplements that they can go on and order supplements. Or they can just have session. They can have a session with me, a virtual session, or they can call, come into the office. So I love working hands-on, but not everyone can get to me in Ogden. So that's what the online appointments are for.
Exactly. Yeah. So you do offer consultation to see whether, it's a good fit or not. Correct?
Yeah, I have a free consultation. Talk to me for 15 minutes and if it's something you want to pursue, great. If you don't want to pursue it, great.
There you go. All right. My gosh. So yeah, anybody in the country or anybody in the, around the world, can, since we're dealing with the internet, so it works out all right.
It does.
Doctor. How can my audience contact you for more information on what we're talking about today?
They can contact, well, my cell phone, my office phone.
Yes.
My office phone's 801-476-1752. You can email me at dr.corey.ohd@hotmail.com. Mm-hmm. A lot of people reach me on my personal page on Facebook, which is Corey Sondrup DC.
Mm-hmm.
So those are probably the most easiest ways to get a hold of me.
There you go. Very good. Well, I appreciate some of the points. In fact, all the points I appreciated that you mentioned. And I think you're doing a fine job. Anytime we can improve someone's health, that's where it's at, because that's the quality of life,
It is.
Person's health. Definitely. So I want to thank you for coming on your Lot and Parcel show, Doctor, and I wish you the best.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. The theme music has been provided by Echo Foxtone. All the opinions expressed in the podcast are opinions only and should not be relied on. For more information, please visit yourlotandparcel.org. We trust you will sponsor our informative podcast with your generosity. For more information, please visit yourlotandparcel.org.